Yeah,
why is it so easy for us to have these negative thoughts about ourselves?
It is
when
so natural,
know,
isn't it?
Sitting here right now, we know those are all lies.
Yep.
But we sit. Now, if you just want to use that as an excuse to eat them good old cream cheese brownies, go for it.
Hi, everyone. Come on in here. We've been waiting for you. This is Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where Joyce teaches the Word of God in her wonderful, practical, no-nonsense way. And my friends and I talk about the real stuff of living it, and we do not hold anything back. I'm Ginger Stocky with my beautiful friends Jay and Aaron Cluley, three friends who are all in different stages of life. Sometimes I highlight very, and that makes me feel really old.
Very
different stages, because I'm really old. I'm not going to do that anymore. But we do understand the importance of having loving, honest women around you. And when we need a little help, we call it Miss Joyce. And we just realize that sometimes you got to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out.
Someone sent me a message about something we should talk about on the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
It was a good one, but I responded and said, just so you know, like it'll be a really honest conversation. Because that's what we do.
I know.
So throw me your ideas, and then you just wait and see what happens.
I like
dive
that.
In.
Just so you know.
Yeah. It's like a prerequisite for this conversation.
A little warning. Don't suggest anything.
Right. You don't want to deep dive in.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We totally will. Speaking of deep dive, I just want to share with all of you guys out there and you too, I have not eaten pork.
You're sharing this.
What's going to happen?
It is important to me.
It's important? Is that what you said?
I felt left out at every event.
Is it the bacon?
Yes.
It's the bacon.
You thought that you were even, like at our last thing when we came over your house, you thought you were doing something nice where you're like, Jay, I really think you're going to like these ham cubes. I'm like, Ginger, I haven't eaten ham or pork in 8 years, but I gave in and
That's
I ate.
It's because I misread a text and I thought you specifically asked for it.
I'm like, what's happening? I thought you were joking. I was like, ooh, what is it? Ham? But I gave in and I ate pork this weekend.
How you feeling?
Great. My stomach kind of did this sound like, rawr. But that was
like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I was like, uh-oh. But it didn't really do that. That was rawr. And then we're back. We're good.
Thank you for sharing that.
I thought it was important. You know, we talk about the real stuff.
And hold nothing back.
Right. I eat bacon now. So
I'm really glad about this.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like a relief for your social life.
I can party and fellowship better with you guys.
I'm happy.
Now, bring on the pepperoni.
I did not mean for the little bits of ham that I made.
You stirred up a lot.
To change
yeah.
your life, but it looks
I
like it did.
I wanted to taste it. You well, don't cook often, so the fact that you made them.
You know how much I love you.
I felt the love, and I just felt like I crushed my
heart. I put something in the crock pot for you. Yeah. Well, we're really excited because we have a guest today with us that you are going to love. And we're also talking about a topic that is so very important.
Yeah. Yeah,
and sure. I think often brushed over mm-hmm. in the church. And I think we'll talk about that mm-hmm. too. But we are going to have someone with us who dealt with depression a lot of her life and really felt like fame and fortune and success mm-hmm. might help take care of it. She found out just the opposite. And Michelle Williams is a friend of Jay's, but she is also well known for many, many things. You know Michelle from everywhere, right? She's written books. She's an author. She's a podcast host. She rose to fame in the most famous girl group of all time, Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. She is going to be here with us to talk about her bout with depression and most importantly, the freedom that she's finding in Christ and something that we can all relate to in yeah. one way or another. And Aaron's totally fangirling.
I didn't want to say anything when I walked in, but I'm so glad I got this seat because she's like right next to me. I'm
not
gonna be so cool.
And I'm we'll look over cool. and Aaron will just be like
rubbing her hair.
Hey Michelle. Hey.
Well let me just say this. Like Michelle Williams, I've been a fangirl mm-hmm. for years just because of the music and I've seen her from afar. Loved her music. Love what she's done with the group, but also when she pivoted and did gospel music, like
yeah.
that was huge mm-hmm. for her to step out and do that. So I've been a fan from afar, but what really connected me to her was when I went on a retreat after, you guys know what I've been going through over the past couple of years with the affair and the divorce and all that stuff. But yeah. Her transparency at a retreat that I went to is really what made me just fall in love with her. I'm just grateful that she's here and sharing her story.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and that's what we really want to help other people understand today is there's no reason to have shame or to hide our pain. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it doesn't mean we need to air it everywhere.
Right.
We have to be careful with what we're doing, right. But there should not be shame, especially in the church,
mm-hmm. yeah.
about dealing with these mm-hmm. things. So she's going to be coming. We're going to be talking about it. We're going to, of course, start with a little bit of God's word, and we're going to see what Joyce has to say about what this kind of pit feels like when you're dealing with depression. So let's listen, and then we'll bring on our special guest.
You know, we all have times in our life when we get disappointed, and the answer to being disappointed is to get reappointed. We all have times when we're discouraged, but the answer is to then find a way to be encouraged. Just like light always overcomes darkness, positive things always overcome negative things. Now, there's a little place that the devil wants us to live in called the pit. Anybody know about the pit of depression, the pit of discouragement, the pit of fear, anger, whatever it might be. Well, what is a pit? It's a sunken place, a low place, a dark and an unpleasant place. I believe self-pity is a pit. There's nothing worse than spending a whole day sitting around in a half-dark room feeling sorry for yourself. It's terrible. It's certainly not a place that God wants us to be in, and it's certainly not a place that Jesus died for us to live in. Joseph's brothers threw him into a pit, and he ended up in the palace, so he must have found some way to get out of that pit. And you may be in a place like that right now. Maybe some of you watching by television, you think you accidentally turned this program on just flipping through the channels, and you're sitting in a pit of depression or fear or anger, and it's no accident that you've joined us. God is going to show you through his word how you can get out of that pit. Now, we pray for God to get us out of places we don't want to be in, but to be honest, it's not all about prayer. I've found out many times when we pray and ask God to do something for us, he shows us what we need to do. I'm going to say that again just to make sure you got it. A lot of times when we ask God to do something for us, instead of just magically doing it for us, he shows us what we need to do to change that thing in our life.
That is a huge statement. Yeah. It's huge. And Michelle, thank you so much for being with us. It's so fun to have you
it
here.
It is so fun to be with y'all today. I know we're talking about a heavy topic, but I've been hanging out with y'all for a little while today, and you guys are just a fun bunch. I just want to see this on like mainstream like TV. Where's the networks? Come on, networks. Off the cameras.
It was funny. We were getting ready, and Michelle said, "Does Joyce know what goes on here?" And yep, she does. She's part of it.
Y'all, she always tells us, you guys better behave.
They're not right. behaving. Not behaving.
Michelle.
Don't tell on us.
Not behaving. You know, I'm just playing. It's so awesome. Just a great, fun spirit that's in here. So
you fit right in.
Yeah, we're glad you're one of the girls.
Yeah, I feel like it already.
I want to jump into what mm-hmm. she said about we want God to take our pain, right? Mm-hmm. We want him to just lift us up out of that pit. And right. so many times, it's more like a ladder that he asks us to climb mm-hmm. one rung at a time mm-hmm. to get out of there. Michelle, as we were listening to that, you're shaking your head. Is that something that you would agree with or that you experienced in your own life?
I would certainly agree with that. You know, when you are in a pit, the pit of depression, let's just go ahead and just park there in the pit of depression. Sometimes you do lay around. I know for me, my experience was laying around for weeks. Mm. No one called. The world didn't stop. Michelle is depressed. Stop, everybody. Stop.
Yep. Yeah, you want that, don't you?
You want that, but it did not happen.
It doesn't make sense that other people are still living and having fun when I'm hurting.
It did not happen, and you're sitting there stinky. Depression makes you stink. Now, just to be honest, because sometimes you're so weak, you don't know. If my experience, you know, you are laying in the bed. You're so weak that you're getting up to use the bathroom and getting back in the bed. Mm-hmm. And so what I started doing when I was in that place, get up. Brush your teeth. Okay. You might even get back in the bed. Okay. But get up, brush your teeth. Okay, now take a shower. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, what are you meditating on? Mm. You know, putting some praise and worship music on or music that uplifts you. Yeah. Because you do have to make the move for yourself. You are not going to pray a prayer and then like Popeye, your muscles, you're going to eat some spinach and then all of a sudden you're going to feel strong. Mm. It is a process.
Yeah. Tell me what that depression felt like for you, because I know it's different for everyone, mm-hmm. but there are consistencies. There mm-hmm. are things that someone else listening will hear Michelle and say, yeah, mm-hmm. I get that. What did it feel like for you?
Well, depression for me, it started around whatever age group the seventh grade is. That's how far back it went. So it didn't happen all of a sudden when I got in Destiny's Child. The music industry didn't make me sad, okay? I remember not wanting to be around people, isolation, my grades were failing, I didn't care. That's where it started for me. And so then I kind of went up into my 30s, not with the diagnosis. You know, I knew in my 20s something wasn't quite right. This is, you know, during success, touring, being around people dream to be around. And I'm like, I feel like I'm depressed. Something, I felt like I've had a name to it then, but in the seventh grade, I didn't. Right. I thought it was growing pains.
Right. Did you think that success that you found, because you hit it big, would take care of all of those feelings? Like somehow getting what we want should fix those problems.
I didn't think success would take it away. I thought success would just help me obtain maybe the things I couldn't obtain as a child. Mm. You know, we were fed, we had clean clothes, but I wanted that Coach purse. You know, and you put it in your back pocket and the tassel would hang out. You know, I wanted Nike. I didn't get my first pair of Nike till I went to college. So to me, success meant I can obtain certain material things, right? Sure. But then you notice, okay, after I obtained material things, you know, after I'm able to sit back and watch my account build, that didn't take away that that thing.
The deep depression.
Yeah. That depression.
Yeah.
But like I said, it wasn't until my 30s that I actually got a diagnosis of depression. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow.
Did you feel relieved? Like when it had an official name?
I definitely felt relieved because you know, I had a name to it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, now that I have a name to it, I don't want that to be my label. Mm-hmm. So now what am I doing to work it out?
Yeah.
You know? But there had been some ups and downs in that journey since that diagnosis of depression. Yeah. You know, you can go years sometimes without something happening.
Right.
And then something happens where you're like, oh, I'm not healed from childhood stuff that even put me in depression in the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. So getting to the root of it's everything has a root.
Everything does.
Has a root.
Mm-hmm. Well, you even mentioned that success can be a type of trauma on its own.
Yes, absolutely. Success can be a trauma. Trauma just isn't blood and gore. Mm-hmm. Trauma is your life changing, your privacy being taken away, maybe somebody following you to your home. I've had the type of trauma where when we would check into the hotel room, security would have to walk in to check the room to see if no one's hiding in the closet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just want to go back to Wisconsin Dells with my family and be normal. And we didn't have to worry about if someone's, you know, in the closet lurking. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a little wonky.
Yeah, you lose your sense of privacy.
You do lose your sense of privacy. And then you just taught, this is what comes with it. Suck it up.
When you talk about finding that root, because I think that is so important. If we don't pull the root out, it just keeps sprouting back up. How did you find that root? Because I'm guessing, I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing that part of finding that root also brought you to a place where the Word of God was able to help you pull that out and to help you change whatever happened, that wound to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Prayer and therapy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They go together because that therapist is trained to help to ask you questions. You don't know the process, or there are different therapy types or practices. I won't get into all of that, but they ask certain questions for a reason to get down to the root. And before you know it, you're talking about something that happened at the age of 3 or 7, right? Or you're discovering, as we discovered at that retreat together, there are certain emotional needs a child needs to have met, or if not, when they are an adult, those symptoms begin to manifest. So if you're wondering why you're 35 years old, 45 years old, reacting like a child, having a tantrum when you lose something or something happens, go back to your childhood and see at what moment, you know, why am I reacting as if somebody took my gummy bears away from me? Right. Okay, well, what happened to you around that age? Yeah. Getting to the root of that, whether it was bullying, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, witnessing domestic violence, all those things, they take root, especially when you grow up in a home where you don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in a home where we didn't talk about it. Shout out to my family. Awesome family, successful family, a family full of ministers, doctors, great, great people. But I think my mom's generation did not talk about things. Right. You saw things and you swept it under the rug. Now, I know when you lift this rug up, there are no dust bunnies. But if you lifted our rugs up.
I'm not so sure.
I just want to keep Joyce Meyer. I just want to keep the podcast in a good light.
Okay, good.
Okay. Right. So imagine you're just sweeping stuff under the rug. And maybe because my parents didn't know how to talk about things because they didn't talk about things in their household. Are you alive? Did it kill you? Okay, there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Do you have a roof over your head? You have clothes on your back. Mm-hmm. Are you without food? There's nothing to talk about.
Be grateful.
Be grateful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it.
And I think I wanted to add this, like, Michelle and I have a very similar upbringing as well, even all the way down to, like, you know how I talk about being Kojic, like a Pentecostal girl, like at the core. But one of the things in my upbringing was not, we didn't normalize therapy or counseling. Mm-hmm. It's a very culture of, you know, what is it? Don't bring a reproach on God, yourself, or the church. So, like, don't talk about things to people. Like, this even was not normal. Like, having friends that you actually were honest with. Mm-hmm. And I believe that what's helping with depression now, even when I struggled with it, when I went through postpartum depression, which is different than, you know, like, clinical depression, but that is real. Like, having a child and going through that real pit hormonal shift, I didn't even, like, I still was at a place, because I was, 22, 23? And I was still at a place where I'm like, I didn't know I could go and talk to somebody. And so I think
you're just stuffing stuff down.
I stuffed it. And I didn't know, like, I was just lying there. And then everybody, oh, girl, you going through postpartum. And that was it. It's like, well, how do I get up? Like, how do I get up? What do I do?
What do I do with it?
What do I do with this? So I think it's important for us to start normalizing talking to people, normalizing even therapy, like normalizing dealing with it.
Yeah, because when you ask you ladies a question, did y'all talk about stuff in your household? Were you free, and was the environment created like, mom, this is bothering me, mom, this is bothering me, dad, this is bothering me, grandma, auntie, whoever? Were you allowed to talk about things?
You want to go first?
Yeah, we were, and I don't know if that's if that's just specific to my home, but I know my mom was my best friend. She still is. So we had that kind of communication. Mm-hmm. So when something bothered me, I would go run to her. Mm-hmm. So it makes me kind of emotional to hear you talk about that, because I can't imagine what you must have experienced where you didn't have someone that you could feel like you could open up to, which makes sense because she didn't know how to do that either. But yeah, so I did grow up in a home like that. My dad was the same way, but talking to my husband, he didn't have that same experience.
Okay.
So we've had to talk through a lot of that stuff now. Like, as you're saying, things he went through as a kid come out as an adult. Mm-hmm. We've had conversations, and it's him living through those things again. Wow. And talking about them now.
Yeah.
I was really blessed in that experience too. Mm-hmm. We talked about everything, and it was very, very open, and it was also okay to hurt.
Yeah.
Which I think is huge. Nobody expected you to hurt, and you didn't want to stay there, but we did talk through things like that. I know if Joyce was here, she would say she did not grow up in a home mm-hmm. where anybody could do that, right? Mm-hmm. She had so many secrets in her home and so many wounds, and I know a lot of people can connect with that. So let's listen to a little bit more that she has to say, something that's really important about digging out of that pit, and then we'll talk more about it.
What goes on in your inner life? What goes on in there behind those closed doors? How do you talk to yourself? Those are thoughts. They're just inside thoughts. How do you talk to yourself? Especially, how do you talk to yourself about yourself? Hey, I say good things about me, just in case nobody else does. I've already got it taken care of. Now, I didn't for a lot of years. I had all kinds of bad things to say to me about me. But you are not ever going to be happy if you don't learn how to enjoy yourself. You have to learn how to enjoy God, enjoy yourself, and when you do that, then you can start to enjoy other people. How do you talk to yourself about yourself? How do you talk to yourself about your life, your future, your past, the situation that you're in? This is never going to change. I'm so sick and tired, sick and tired. Sick and tired. And then you go to God and say, I don't understand why I'm so sick and tired. Come on, let's get a slight revelation here today. I'm sick and tired of this. I hate my job. I hate my life. I don't know why I'm unhappy. What you say to you is more important than anything that anybody else says to you. Matter of fact, if you say enough good stuff to yourself, you can even be around somebody that just makes a lifetime out of trying to pull people down, and it don't have to bother you at all. Because it's what you know about yourself that matters, not what everybody else thinks. Self-talk drastically affects our moods. Let me tell you something. I could be in some bad moods if I didn't talk to myself. Let's look at this again because this is so good. Moreover, let us be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces, I love this, the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. It becomes a habit. Make your mind up today that you're going to enjoy life on purpose. No matter how many troubles you came in with, find something today that you can enjoy. Think about something that's going to make you happy. Go be a blessing to somebody, but refuse to let your day just be 24 hours of sadness and being gloomy and think about every negative thing that you can come up with to think about.
So what do you all think when you hear that scripture of what God wants us to think about and what he wants us to do in our life? But there's so much in all of that that she was saying.
Yeah.
What are some of the thoughts you guys were having?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I think we all love Joyce Meyer because of the practical way she breaks things down.
Right.
I felt convicted. She's like, girl, if you don't start talking better to yourself and blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like, she's so right because as we think about a scripture in Romans 12, I think, you know, don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. She just told us how to renew the mind. Because how many times do we hear that scripture and be like, renew my mind? So am I just supposed to read this scripture? And my mind supposed to be renewed? So it's going to help with how you talk to yourself. What are you reading on? What are you hearing? Are there people in your life who might be contributing to your depression?
Come on.
Let them go. Or boundaries.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was just sitting here like, she's giving some practical ways because she teaches no nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen overnight. There are some things that you have to do. And talking to yourself and saying what God thinks about you and, you know, whatever the things that are pure, lovely, of good report. Right. Think on these things.
Yeah.
I love what you said and then what Joy said too about how like it took therapy and prayer. So my husband and I have been going to therapy, so I'm learning all these great things I wouldn't have figured out otherwise.
So good.
But then I have to like do something about it. That's just not going to magically change everything.
I'm spending all that money on therapy.
I know, right? And so last week I was like, why is this not working? And then I realized where my mind was going. Like mm-hmm. I'm learning these tools, but my mind is still going wherever I want it to go. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to get anything out of this money we're paying, I better start practicing these things, and I need to be renewing my mind with Christ and the things that he's saying. It doesn't matter that I have this knowledge. What am I going to do with that knowledge? Mm-hmm. And it all goes back to my mind.
And it's not instant grits, people.
No.
It's not. Yeah. You don't put water in it, put it in the microwave, and then it's going to be edible.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes it's always not edible. So just know that before you know it, a week will go by, 2 weeks will go by, and what you've been practicing and applying, you'll see some changes.
Yeah. It becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. It becomes a habit, mm-hmm. like Joyce said. But once the light bulb switches, when you realize, I have to take ownership of my process of healing. Give it to the Lord, of course, mm-hmm. but you have to put feet to your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, because sometimes it's easier said than done. I've been there. Mm-hmm. I almost went there this round. Like, I could feel myself down. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, you know, like, I'm, and I would say things like, I'm not good enough. Maybe I wasn't pretty enough. Maybe the weight, maybe the, you know, so I just started thinking of all the things of the whys. And mm-hmm. then it's just like, it's all the little ugly things that Satan was saying mm-hmm. in my ear, you know, that I started just realizing I was thinking and maybe even not always articulating, but thinking like, yeah, she was better than me. This, mm-hmm. like, that's why I wasn't good enough for him to love me. Like, it was things like that, that when you're sitting, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can feel it's heavy. And so, and it feels almost impossible to do it. But when you realize that you're not doing it on your own, but you have to activate that thing and like mm-hmm. start speaking, be mindful of what you're saying about yourself. So then I'm like, no. And then even talking to you guys helped a whole bunch through that season. Like, cause I was feeling like it was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so anybody that's listening, like, we're not saying that it's not heavy. It's not easy. It's one little step at a time.
That's right. What did you replace those thoughts with?
I replaced them with saying positive affirmations about myself. And you guys can go to previous episodes when I was walking through it. And I still do today. Like, I replenish my little bathroom. Look like a little teenage bathroom right now. But I don't really care because it's getting me through. And I mm-hmm. might post it maybe. Because, like, it's post-it notes all over my mirror that say, like, I don't even need a man to validate me. I am beautiful. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Sure are.
And, like, I, even when I couldn't say it, I saw it. And I was like, and I look at myself and like, ugh, she don't look it. But like, but
the mirror's a rough place to put that. but it's a good idea.
Because that was one of the places where I felt the least.
Right, yeah.
Like, lovely. Like, that was the place where I felt the worst. So,
but you still were.
It was hard to see it.
Absolutely.
It was when you're going through it and you're feeling that way, it's so hard. It's like, oh, I feel like, oh. But I literally started speaking it. And then we talk about the full armor of God. Like, actively putting that on every day, even when I'm like, helmet of salvation, you know, sword of the spirit. Like, you know, but those practical things and taking it step, like you talked about earlier, that ladder, step by step, that pulls you out of that pit.
Why is it so easy for us to have these negative thoughts about ourselves?
It is so natural, isn't it?
When we know, sitting here right now, we know those are all lies.
Yep.
But we sit. Now, if you just want to use that as an excuse to eat them good old cream cheese brownies, go for it. Why don't we speak good about ourselves and eat the brownies? You know, but it's just kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm horrible. I'm not lovable. I'm just going to eat my life away. It's so easy. It's like our minds, we gravitate to the negative.
Yeah.
It's so easy before. So I hate that it takes practice to speak positive about ourselves.
Yeah, I love the Psalms for that. If you read through the Psalms, mm-hmm. there's so many wonderful, encouraging Psalms. But more than that, they're so real.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Psalms 13, it starts with saying, are you going to forsake me forever, God? Have you forgotten me? I love how real that is. Yes. But then it ends up with, like so many Psalms, yet I will praise you. I trust you. Yeah. You're here for me.
Yes.
So we can lay it all before God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it hurts so much that we don't even know how to begin to start doing that. And that's where we're praying for one another. We're helping each other out. We need to sometimes have a little bit of extra prayer to pick us up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we don't always get that. Sometimes we're completely on our own.
Yeah.
So do what we can. And God gives little glimmers. What were some of the things that you saw at your darkest moments when God began lifting you out?
Some of the things that I saw at my darkest moments.
What'd you do? How did you change your thinking?
'Cause I didn't see a lot of good things in my darkest moments. Yeah. If we talk about we keep it real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of good things in my darkest moments. I was ready to end it. Yeah. End it all. But I think I'm trying to, what got me through deciding that day, the world did not stop for me. That's kind of sobering. Mm-hmm. Like, why was I, people care about you, they might, but when people pick up the phone and call you, you don't really tell them how you're doing,
right?
Because you don't want to be a burden.
Yeah.
So definitely, because I'm like, well, because I have faith, it was good to, you know, pick up the word and get those songs back in my spirit, because for a while I felt so ashamed of what happened.
Yeah.
I stopped listening to praise and worship music. I felt shame. You know what I mean?
How do you get past that shame?
Just know, like, shame to not listen to something that's going to get me through, that got me to where I am. I think that's what the enemy wants, is if he can take away certain things and now he has you to himself, that's the perfect place for him to take you out.
Yeah.
The perfect spot. But you will not win today. And he did not win. You know, there's a song that I've been listening to called I'm Alive Because There's More.
Yeah.
You know, and so there is more. Every time we get up and take a breath, there is more. There is purpose. I will not, as much as I can, I will not let the enemy celebrate and put his little, you know, what's the party hats on and blow the thing. You're not going to do that with me.
Yeah, no pity party.
No.
So was it like a perspective change?
Definitely a perspective change. And then declaring no more depression. No more depression. I was tired of those pits. So now, if I sense it, I'm not saying that I don't have things that come along my way that could make me upset, but I no longer sit. I go work out. I drink my nutritional shakes. I eat, because for me, it affects my appetite. Mm-hmm. So when you don't eat, you're weak. And you, no. Not staying busy, but doing something productive.
Yeah.
To stay up. And that is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. Oh, and end of 2019, coming into 2020, I said no more. No more. And in 2020, there was no more. Did I have hurts and triggers? Absolutely. But did I get in the bed? No. How do we help people? Do you have people close to you? What do you do if somebody tells you, hey, I'm down and depressed? If, you know, I don't know your experience, or we know your experience with it. What are some of the things that maybe we can help people be like, okay, definitely don't say that, you know, or what are some of the cool things that, you know, we do?
I think that's a great question. And one of the first things is I tell them, thank you. Like, thank you for telling me that.
That's so good, acknowledging it.
Yeah, because I love them so much. Yeah. And I know how hard it is to admit that sometimes. And to just say, thank you for sharing your life with me like that. And I will be here. I'll pray for you. I'll talk through anything you want me to.
Yeah.
We can do what you want. We can pray together. I can pray for you and keep it to myself.
Yeah.
We can look at the word together. But I think being there for them is more important than anything else that I know of.
I was just talking to a friend last night. It's a friend of Mike and I's, and he struggles with depression. So he was just sharing what that experience has been like. And I told him, I'm so appreciative of you opening up about this. Mm-hmm. I know it's not easy to talk mm-hmm. about. And he was saying how he and his wife have been together so long, she's learned like when he's in that place. And so she knows sometimes he doesn't need to talk.
Yeah.
And right, so yeah. it's learning that, from what I took from him, learning that person and respecting what they might need. Because he said usually he can be over, like the next day might be better. And mm-hmm. so it's not pushing them, but sort of going at their pace. Okay. I found that was that's really good. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Just yeah. that's what worked for them.
And that's a form of being there for that person.
Right.
Verbally or nonverbal.
You different know. For each person. Yeah. Like, what do you need?
But that's sometimes good. Being there for them also means some tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You don't let someone stay in that dark, dark yeah. place. You're mm-hmm. there to help them, even if it's just incredible intercessory prayer. I'm not going to give up on them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep telling them that God loves them and has a good plan for them, even if they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to the point where it hurts our relationships, but I'm not going to give up on them.
That's why Jay calls me nosy. I've done with her.
We stopped calling you Nosy. We call you Karen Aaron.
Yeah, not Nosy Rosie.
Not Nosy. Oh, no, my Aaron. Initial name was Nosy Rosie. But then we were like, okay, Karen Aaron.
Okay. Because I care and I will not stop.
Honey, you will not. That's good. Relentless.
That's okay. so good.
But here's yeah. the thing. Here's one of the things that I like to just share with people that get people that come to them to say like, oh, I'm struggling with this. It could be depression or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many resources now. Like, long gone are the excuses of like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's called Google. You know, like, I mean, I'm not saying that Google knows everything, mm-hmm. but there are so many helpful tips out there to say like how to deal with a friend that's struggling with depression. What are some things to say and what not to say? Mm-hmm. You know, like yeah. it's so much out there now that we have to, if we really care about the person, taking, and that's with any topic, that's with anything that your friends are struggling with, like taking that personal like accountability to say, I'm going to Google to see yeah. this. I'm going to ask, I'll mm-hmm. call other doctors. Because mm-hmm. if you care,
yeah,
you have to be invested mm-hmm. in doing it. But one of the yeah. things that I've told even friends, because I've come out of depression before, and because I've felt myself spiraling a little bit,
yeah.
you know, is I like, it's one of the things you kind of said, it's like, the healing takes time. The decision can be instant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like once you realize that, mm-hmm. the decision to say, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lose to this. Like
yeah.
this
yeah.
can't win over me. Yeah. That can be in a moment. So like if you're struggling with it right now, you can, even if you feel very, very weak, you can make a decision and say, God, with your help.
Amen.
With your help. Like, I don't have to deal with this anymore.
Amen.
I can be done yes. with this. I can yes. be done with this right now.
Yes. Yeah.
But you have to understand that the healing takes time. That's the part that was the hardest for me, was because I wanted it to be as instant mm-hmm. as my words were. And that wasn't the mm-hmm. case. It's still not the case. I still struggle with certain parts of my life and what's going on.
And you're not a bad Christian because you still struggle exactly. with that stuff.
It's a process, but mm-hmm. the healing part takes time.
Yeah.
And only God can determine that time. But as long as you do the work, as long as you make those decisions, as long as you make the decision to say, like, because I wasn't ashamed to not listen to worship music. I was disappointed.
Hmm.
I didn't want to hear any more music, that this music I sang to people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to hear it anymore. Because I sang it and I'm like, how could this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was not ashamed. I was just mad. And it's okay to say like, I'm disappointed. I'm angry. Yeah. I'm angry. Yeah. I don't want to sing. I don't want to listen. But at some point, you're going to have to understand that that's the medicine you need to get yourself right. So you have to make the decision like, oh, I don't want to hear it. Then you just listen, have it playing in the background. Then eventually you'll start mm-hmm. singing it. You know, just take it, be gracious to yourself. But understand that the healing takes time, but the decision can be right now.
So that takes like a little crack in that darkness for hope and light to seep in. You need just a little crack sometimes mm-hmm. to begin to make that statement that you said, you know, this is where I'm going to yeah. fight back.
Yeah. And you say no more.
Exactly.
And I surrender and I raise my hands. There are moments mm-hmm. where I'm walking around in my condo with the music on. My hands are raised, okay? Because worship does help with everything. It helps mm-hmm. with worry. It helps with anxiety. It helps with depression. It helps dealing with any other unfortunate situation or diagnosis that you've had. Worship, at the end of the day, it does help. It's just not, just don't be like me or with what Jay is saying. Just, you know, because the enemy wants to snatch your praise and your worship, because his whole plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And if when he gets you by yourself, he can do whatever he wants with you. And then you come in agreement with that and you walk in that. And before you know it, you can be out of here permanently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to then, you have to also then pivot from just listening to opening your mouth.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wield your weapon. Like, because a lot of times we listen to music or we read the words silently and don't. And I realized in my pit of like my lowest pit, I remember just.
Yes, you not, felt. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was, oh, it's gripping. Like, and sometimes I just cut. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. Like, and so I remember that. And mm-hmm. I know like how I even sometimes feel in this whole season of healing is like, you just, it's like, I want to, my heart wants to, but you just have to make a sound. You have to will yourself to wield your weapon. You go from listening to the music, listening to the sermon online, listening to the, all that, listening to the podcast. Great, 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 great. But at some point, you're going to have to open your own mouth because he wants to hear your worship. And Satan needs to hear your specific voice to cast him out. You have to use
That's
your
good.
Words.
That's so good. So, and let the word of God seep into that one little crack of hope that you begin to see open up. I mean, there's so many amazing scriptures of who God wants to be in our lives. Yeah. He's the lover of our soul. Good. He's the healer of our deepest, darkest hurts. He is that hope in the most hopeless situation. Mm-hmm. And just like Jay said, write down those scriptures. And like you said, Michelle, don't be ashamed to reach out and get the help that you need, whether it's professionally, maybe it's medication, because, you know, this is not just something that is because there's something wrong with me. I made a mistake. Right. I did something that I deserve this. Yeah. And that's how we feel sometimes when we're in that dark place. Mm-hmm. It's not that we deserve it. Sometimes we need some physical
help
to get our body through this as well as our soul and spiritually. So it's just a whole thing. And
that's so good. I mean, we take ibuprofen for headaches. You know, maybe, you know, if you go to the hospital for food poisoning, they're going to give you an IV for nausea and an IV
they're
to
gonna
get
pump
your
stomach from that bad food.
And,
let's get the bad stuff out.
Okay, from your electrolytes, they're going to hydrate you. So, you know, and I didn't want to get too, you know, medical, but when you brought up medication, that's an option too, you know, and maybe it doesn't have to be permanent. I don't know the situation, you know. For me, you know, medication was involved, but because I believe, you know, I'm taking it for ibuprofen for a headache, then maybe I can take something for anxiety that will lead to depression. So just, you know, like we said, go see somebody and have no shame about it. Like, you don't have to broadcast it to everybody unless you feel led one day and you feel it's going to inspire, make impact and change and save a life. Go for it. I'm with you on that. But like you said, definitely don't have any shame of talking to somebody through it.
However, when you said that about prayer and therapy, I can just hear so many Christians going,
you taking away the power of God.
Exactly.
Know.
And that's not how it works, because when you talk about prayer, God's hands aren't tied by anything. So he gives us the ability to have medical advancement. So I just love that you're saying that. And I think it's so important that we as Christians can stop blaming one another for the problems that we face, stop putting shame on it if we need extra help, and can look at it in a holistic approach like we do everything else in our life. Mm-hmm. As long as God is the focus and we're not trusting something else over him. But if we're putting them together, I think that's hugely
Absolutely.
Important.
I've heard Dr. Anita Phillips say, I believe I'm quoting it correctly, you know, prayer is a weapon, therapy is a strategy. Mm. So I know that after I leave therapy, I pray and be like, now, Jesus, you heard what she said. Yeah. So then, and I feel like my prayers have become even more specific. Yeah. It's like after you get a doctor's report, you pray specifically according to what that doctor said.
Well, we're going to close with a little bit of encouragement from Joyce. But before we do that, Michelle, is there anything that you would say? Because you're talking to our friends who may be in that place where you were a few years ago. What is the best advice that you would give them to hang on to that hope that's out there?
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And yes, I know who holds my future. This is the advice. And your life is worth the living just because he lives.
That's awesome.
Oh,
I know. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I try to sing on here sometimes, you know.
Come on, girls.
No,
let's go.
No,
chorus.
No. Because I'll never do it again.
You don't want it.
Life is worth. The Lord has you here for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I contemplated many times. But my life is worth living.
That's right.
Simply because he lives.
Yeah.
Not even simply what it took for him.
Yeah.
To big die for us to live us. To live again.
Yeah.
You know?
So good.
Yeah. Well, friends, we love you so much. We're so glad that you've been here with us. And we just pray that you can hold on to something today that you heard, that God, who loves you so much and has so much ahead for you for your future, will bring that little glimmer of hope and light into your life. We do have a free resource for you today because we love you. We want to get the word into your hand. So go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout and get the free resource called Overcoming Depression. We hope that you'll do what God asks you to do. And most importantly, I think I want you to hear this. There is no shame in your pain.
That's good.
There's only shame that's being put on you from Satan. And you don't have to take that. You can right now, just like Michelle said, just like Jay said, you can say no. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's a slow process. But we see it sitting right here.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
It's real, and there's hope for you. So we just love you so much. We want you to know that you matter. And we're going to close with this encouragement from Joyce as we say goodbye. Thank you again, Michelle.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Don't let this be the last time.
I'm going to
hunt you down.
Back.
I'm going to be peeking through those windows.
Oh my gosh, I would love it.
What,
love to see
what
you.
Is that?
That's a meme.
Michelle? That is me.
It's just Michelle again. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
There's one person that the devil cannot defeat, and that's somebody who refuses to give up. Every time you find yourself in a pit, skip the guilt trip, climb out. I got to keep saying skip the guilt trip because if you make a mistake one time and you realize it, and now you start feeling guilty, it's going to weaken you and help you fall right back into the same trap again. Guilt does nothing good for us at all. Repent, go on about your business. Paul said, one thing I do, one thing I do. The great apostle Paul, one thing I do. It is my one aspiration, letting go of the things that are behind and pressing toward the things that are ahead. And that is your privilege today, whether you're in this building or watching by TV, no matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter what kind of pit you find yourself in right now, the answer from God is very simple. Talk to God about it, repent, climb back out of the pit, make a good decision that's going to override the bad decision, skip the guilt trip, and go on. If you fall in again, do it again. If you fall in again, do it again. If you fall in again, do it again. And no matter how many times it takes, you will wear the devil out if you don't give up.